It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This update is brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. Starting with the Canes, who return to practice today as they get set for their top 20 matchup with USF. Saturday's game kicks at 4:30 from Hard Rock and can be heard here on 104.3 WQAM with our countdown to kickoff beginning at noon. Over to the Dolphins, who place right guard James Daniels on IR. Miami added offensive lineman Cole Strange from Cleveland's practice squad. The Dolphins will host New England on Sunday. And in the Marlins, who fell to the Nationals 7-5, game three of the four-game series is tonight with the first pitch at 6:40 from Lone Depot Park. Joe, it did not take long for the Dolphins to start plucking practice squad guys. We're in week two here.
Yeah, and I didn't look around the league. I saw a few guys are injured now for a while, but the Dolphins could be without four guys. Four guys that started last week could be out with Benito Jones, could be out. Austin Jackson could be out, and James Daniels and, of course, Storm Duck will both be out. We'll find out how long Storm Duck's going to be out, but Rasul Douglas takes over for him, and now we'll be a full-time starter after being here now for a little more than a cup of coffee, and he'll be asked to do more. And it was bad. Everything's bad. They come back. How do they respond, man? I mean, nothing like getting called out from top to bottom. And right now, man, from the top, from Chris to Mike to Tua, Tua didn't get any kind of hall pass. And as much as you might love Tua and go, well, it's, you know, it's if Tua just had an offensive line. Okay, well, he had some time to throw. And he didn't play well enough. Stop it. Even his coach, who's usually positive about everything, said, hey, he's got to play better in his own way. What'd he say? He makes certain throws 9 out of 10 times, and we saw the one, I guess, that he didn't make. So, yeah, I want to see how they come together. Obviously, game plans. And you know what makes coaches look really bad in general? I don't say this very much, and I've said I like this coaching staff that Mike has a lot. But when you put a game plan in and players don't execute it, and when you work on offensive linemen, work on blitzes that you're going to see from Lou Anarumo, who, by the way, everybody knows his style, and if he's got a certain part of his team he doesn't like, he's going to bring more heat on you. And like, we act like we'd never seen him. And then on top of that, we got beat up in every part of the game. We got beat up. Tackling out in the flats was awful, which is really, it's a weird one to even talk about that. That's a weird one. You know, it's all the things you talk about, a guy catching a ball out in the flats and you're going, okay. And one-on-one or two guys in one case running out there and the tight end stopped and cut back inside. But and they were breaking it down about guys overrunning the play out in the flat, sprinting too far. But all I know is the tight end and running back made us look really, really bad in that. And so some of that I go, well, listen, man, to be honest, guys don't tackle in practice. Some of them didn't play a lot. So tackling is going to be one thing that hurts. That might be take a few weeks to get used to, and for certain guys and stuff. But it was a rough one everywhere, man. Guys breaking it down. We'll have Kyle Krabs join us, host of Locked On Dolphins and A to Z Sports NFL analyst, join us at 8 o'clock this morning, and then Brian Baldinger, who really loved this offensive line, we'll have him on and talk him about everything with this team right now. I want to get into some of this stuff. Listen, they're coming back to work today, and like a lot of teams that lost, you know, they're going to be asked questions and, you know, and what do you have to clean up and stuff. But we have a unique one, like we did a lot of last year. Couple days ago, the Tyreek Hill domestic violence allegations from his ex-wife got out. TMZ had it. Now it's one of the top trending stories, and everybody's wondering. There's articles about it. With that, the league takes that stuff pretty seriously since they figured it out. There, many years ago, they were chasing it like they had no idea it might happen with the Ray Rice stuff, and didn't handle that great and got absolutely blasted. They've gotten better at it. They've gotten better at it, especially when you have video. You should be really good at it. But this Tyreek Hill thing and his ex-wife breaking down, I mean, she did a play-by-play of the eight different incidents that popped up. I'm guessing the league will take this very seriously. I know Tyreek's people are going to say she's trying to get more money, and I'm going, well, is she really trying to get more money? Because if this works out and he gets suspended, he's going to lose a lot of money, which is going to affect money she gets. So it's, I think there's going to be an NFL investigation, but again, I don't work for the league office and I don't know, but there'll be a lot of female fans upset when they hear.
They don't say anything today out there, right? I mean, do they go into the media and just say, hey, we're not touching this? Don't even ask.
I'm not sure how Ann and the Miami Dolphins touch this. Honestly,
it's a lose-lose situation, right?
Well,
there's
so
nothing that they can say or do today
right,
that will make
right
anyone happy.
And so when this thing happened, police came in, and you remember the team came out and said, hey, they left. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. And she left the house, and next thing you know, we found out, and she was doing this, and he was doing that, and they'd split up, and she said, we're definitely getting divorced. And so we went through a little more Tyreek Hill stuff there. But this one now coming back with all these allegations.
Do you believe they were blindsided by this stuff? Like when the TMZ article came out, did all panic like break loose over there? Or did they know?
No, I'm guessing Drew's team gave the team a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking.
I just wonder how
long. I know we didn't notice, but we're not with the team.
I know, but I just wonder how long this has been kind of known about, that this was
going I don't know that
pop up. You
know what I mean? I don't know, but the timing of this couldn't have been worse, right after everything that took place during the game. Of course,
really was bad timing.
And so now the team has not touched it yet. I'm sure they're calling the NFL like, what do we do now? You know what's out there? We don't know for sure. We're being told by attorneys and her attorneys and his attorneys, but what do we do?
I also think, in fairness, Mike should not have to answer any questions about it.
What?
It's not his problem.
So the part that sucks is, yeah, Mike, you know.
Hey, Mike, is it a distraction?
Hey, even Chris, you know, like, people are going to get down on Chris because he's the one at the end of the day that gave him this extension and everything else, and the team made a decision. We need him. We think he can, you know, stay out of this stuff. And here we are right after game one. At least his stuff last year was before game one. This time it's after game one.
Well, it was the morning of game one.
Yeah, morning of game one. I said it was before, but it was slightly before, a couple hours.
Still game day.
But, yeah, man, it's so they got to deal with that today.
Do you realize we are caught up in, I feel like, something almost every single year?
I know. It's
I don't follow for other franchises this closely, obviously, Joe.
I got to tell you.
But it's just so many controversies.
T. Hill is exhausting.
Yeah, he is.
He is. And he's got the microscope on him on the sideline, on the bench. Those cameras for CBS, NBC, Fox, any of your favorite apps, they are going to have a camera constantly on number 10, no matter what he does. When he goes out of the game, they notice guy's flat, took himself out of the game a little bit because he was banged up.
It's always something, though, isn't it? Like, it's the Brady thing. It's the, you know, Flores now, and he's suing the team. Like, it's just, it's something. It's always something.
Yeah, we do seem to have.
Now it's the culture, and nobody gets along, and we need people to get along. And
well, at least we're not talking about guys being late and all that stuff. So we've I don't know.
Yeah, guys being late. Like, again, it's just, it's always something.
We've got the culture thing. Listen, this is why I think some of the former guys have been coming out going, hey, you guys all caught up in this, all getting along and stuff. You guys need to play at the end of the day. The most important thing, whether you like each other or not, or you're, you know, everybody's got different personalities, but you need to play on game day. And that was a stinker. That was probably by far Mike McDaniel. And for the first game of the year, against the Colts, again, we weren't playing the Eagles. We weren't playing the Ravens. We weren't playing the Bills in week one. And
you could put together got an slapped around timeline of stuff.
Shouldn't have said slapped around. Got, yeah, got
that was poorly done.
Knocked around.
I shouldn't have said all the way back to, like, what, Bullygate. That thing was a disaster, right?
I know, but Woody, I don't listen, man. I don't care about Joe. I don't care about my Richie Incognito right
up,
now.
They're always caught up in something.
Okay.
Like, how do you fix that? How do you get to a point where these things stop happening every time?
I think first of all, we got to get leadership at the top. The guy that's nobody's talking about right now is Mike. Chris Greer.
They're together. You can call them. They're the same.
No. Mike, listen, this is on Mike. Now, his team not being ready, but listen, Chris put this thing together. There's no we in GM. I'm sick of we from Chris. I don't want to hear we. I don't want to hear had he and Mike had breakfast and, you know, time and things and we like this guy. No. You're the GM. You're the guy. I looked at your title. I wanted to check it again. I wanted to make sure you have total say in things and dealing directly with the owner on all these things. People ask me, does the owner know? Yeah, Chris doesn't have to go through anybody to make a call. And I don't know how often he talks to the owner. I have not talked to Mr. Ross, but I hope at least he makes one call to him and says, I apologize. I've done a real crappy job. But yeah, this is, there's a hot seat. There's no question about it. I don't know. I saw one of our writers wrote yesterday, anything, you know, after next game. I don't think that's the case. The other thing
they keep
doing is
they keep signing these guys that can't, like, physically can't play. Like, this 2 years in a row, you've had guys that just, like.
So at some point when our assistant coaches fall in love and make recommendations, at some point, besides doing our homework with doctors and checking things out and – We need to make decisions where the guy at the top, who again is the GM, says Darren Waller's not a good idea for this team. It's not. Appreciate Frank Smith had him, you know, and 4 or 5 years ago, the success they had together as a tight ends coach and playing. And the guy was, hey, listen, the story about Darren Waller being on a practice squad and the Raiders watching him work out before a game and falling in love, and they grabbed him, and the rest, you know, he goes on, has two great, great years. I mean, he was as good as pass receivers we'd seen for 2 years. He was right up there with all the really good ones. But now you take a year off. You come back. I go, okay, they got him. They must. And then I go, well, he's been out of football. He needs some time. Well, does he need time or does he have a bad hip? Which is it?
We don't have time.
Well, we got time. Well, now he's going to be ready. We're going to start getting him ready. And we're going, well, now we're in week two. And now they're going, well, it may not be week two, but if not, he'll be there for Thursday night football against the Bills. Now he still hasn't been hit. So I'm guessing his money's, it's his.
Is he going to play?
His base salary.
If you had to guess right now, is he going to play? Like, will he suit up? Or
oh, I think there's serious pressure. This is just like when you're already upset with everything going on, and I'm guilty of going, and then you got this Darren Waller deal. Like, what are we doing? Nothing against Darren Waller. You know, he wanted to come back and he only wanted to play here, and
yeah,
they were going to bring him along slowly. Listen, man, this game is like, We got to get away from guys. There should be a rule. I said this yesterday. There should be a rule. I'm running super late this morning.
It's okay.
There should be a rule from the top. We'll sign guys, but if they can't be ready to go by the time camp starts, we should not sign them. We should not sign guys that are not healthy. Now, listen, if a guy's coming back from being injured the year before, hey, you keep him. Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb and those guys, that's different. But if guys have been injured and they can't come back, Eichenberg. Did they know Eichenberg was going to be out to start the season? I was led to kind of believe he's going to be ready to go when the season started. And he was going to be our key backup for all these positions.
I seriously can't believe you have to say all this stuff out loud. Like this is such common sense crap that you're talking about right now.
I just, like, if Darren Waller can't be ready to go, and well, no, we got to bring him along slowly. And I'm like, when the hell did this start? Like, you got to get your feet wet. You got to get knocked around a little bit. You got to get jammed on the ball. You got to go up and catch it where guys are physically all going up the same time. You got to get used to it when you do go up and leave your feet hitting the turf. And he's just kind of skipping all that, like playing flag football. And now he's going to go to getting ready to play against the Patriots. I don't know, man. And then they go, oh, when he's off the side, he looks really good. And maybe he does. Maybe he is. But that's not, you know, this is no longer off-season workouts, man. This is game two. Anyway, hey, we got to go to break. I said when I started this morning I wasn't going to be frustrated about everything that we do. We did this last year with some guys, and then they come out. They lie, too, and they're like, well, we knew it was going to take 6 or 8 weeks for this guy to come back. What? You signed a guy knowing he's going to be 6 to 8 weeks into the season before he's going to come back. I get it, man, you know. But I'm not drinking. I'm done drinking crappy Kool-Aid.
Talk about having to explain something to Stephen Ross. My God, man.
Anyway.
Hey, Steve, we gave this guy some of your money here, but he can't play. He's
yeah. Good. Yeah. By the way, that's another one.
On it.
Hey, we messed up on this one too. And we've added up the money on guys that haven't been ready to start of the season that we signed from, you know, the year before.
Yeah, he's not going to play, but would you mind paying him?
Eichenberg's a free agent. We signed him $2 million, Eichenberg, $2 million guaranteed right away. Like, okay. He's good. They got him as a backup. I said it makes sense. He's not ready. Hell, we don't know if he's close to being ready. I mean, what are we doing? What is that? Setbacks? Cliggy's Carts, man. Let's go to Cliggy's Carts this morning, man. I got to tell you, they are fantastic. They really are. It's really hard to go from being frustrated and talking about a great product like Cliggy's Carts, and they are. They are love. I don't care if you're in Dade, Broward, Jupiter, north of Jupiter and listening to us. You're getting ready to get the old neighborhood golf cart, the one where the whole family can enjoy. And when you're not on it, your kids can go out and have a good time and you don't worry about them. That's what Cliggy's Carts are all about, featuring Royal EV golf carts, the coolest golf carts in America today. They are electric, featuring 48 and 72 volt lithium battery options, designed and engineered to be a leader in quality and safety. With aluminum frames, it's very important. First of all, the safety. Little kids get on these things. There's been a lot of accidents. You won't have that with this. Kids not going to be able to do anything with them. Aluminum frames, no rust. Adjustable front seat and all their six-seat models. Nobody else is doing that. Custom paint jobs. You got a favorite team. You're a Panther fan right now and want to jump on it. They'll do Panther colors, including your choice of sound bars and LED lighting. Cliggy's Carts are located next to Okeechobee Steakhouse on Okeechobee Boulevard in West Palm Beach. Call 877-CLIGGY'S.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There and yeah, man, I'm trying to move on and get set. Like Dolphins getting set, put in new game plans, and had I'm sure had a lot of meetings, watched a lot of tape yesterday. And by the way, not just the players, but the coaches had to go back and either players aren't getting what they want to do. But when I start hearing guys on defense are freelancing, that's not good. Guys aren't sure who to block on blitzes. Never good when two guys decide to block the guy on the inside and the guy on the outside gets a free run at your quarterback. That's not good. Anyway, we got new guard, Cole Strange, grabbed from the Browns practice squad. If that name sounds familiar, it should. He was a former first-round pick with the Patriots. By the way, only 2022 in the 2022 draft. And had 30 starts with the Patriots. So he comes in, and we'll find out if the thought is he's going to play right away or do they like Brunskill and Keon Smith at one of those positions. Keon Smith, by the way, when James Daniels did go out of the game, finished it. And Kendall Lamb will, I'm guessing, be activated. He was not active for the first game after being released by the Eagles. And he's back, and he's been really good here. He's been what you want out of a third tackle is Kendall Lamb. That's the guy. Look at me. I'm not going to get this Darren Waller thing. My belief is he can't stay healthy for 17 games once he comes back. That's just my belief off his injury, being a hip and age and hasn't played. And how many plays can he play a game? And I get what he used to look like. He's getting ready to turn 33 here pretty soon, maybe this week or next week or something. But I don't know, Julian Hill and Tanner Connor in the last game. You got a couple of practice squad tight ends picked up. So, but I just this thing about, you know, he'll be ready to go. We're bringing him along slowly. He'll be ready. We think he'll be ready, actually. This is when it started with Darren Waller. We think he'll start getting a lot more work after we get back from the 12 days on the road or 11 days on the road. He'll start working. Okay. Okay. No. He's going to be back. We're going to wait till after the Jacksonville preseason. And now we think he's going to be ready. So my gut feeling is this is not about his conditioning. No matter what they say, this has to do with a hip. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not trying to play one. But, you know, and then it's like, well, we're going to wait. He had a little setback in practice. He had a practice, but we had a rest day in there. And I'm like, God, stop making excuses. You either need to play or you can't. And how many guys are we going to sign to help the 401k program? You know, the Panthers used to get 401k guys. Guys came in at the end of their careers and they make a little bit of money and come to find out they come down. They had the family down here. When it got cold up in Canada, they come down here and they're having a great time. This is a way to finish. We're not very good, but hey, man, this is a good way. And, you know, we'd get them at the end of their careers and they'd come down here. And they don't have that anymore, by the way. I guess everybody's noticed that as they're going for their third straight championship. But we got to get this figured out. And, you know, again, Darren Waller, I don't want to beat this up for 4 hours, and I'm not going to do this, but Darren Waller was a really good player. I mean, we've all looked up his stats and what year, oh, man, that guy was really good. And you go, what was that, 2019, 2020, maybe 2021? And then it started, he went to the Giants, if I'm not mistaken. And then it was numbers and it's not him. It's the Giants. And then he retired. Then he goes, hey, if I can come back, I want to come back and play with the Dolphins. Frank's my guy. Frank Smith's my guy. Offensive coordinator. Frank obviously went into the, say, hey, he's good, man. The guy's really good. Well, he was. He was really, really good. He was. All pro, Pro Bowl, super freakish, 6'6", 230 or 40 pounds. And I just don't know. This is just not good sign. This is not a good sign. So they've already kind of like, well, we think he's going to be ready for this week. But if not, he'll definitely be ready for the Buffalo Bills on Thursday night. I'm like, oh, that's a great first game to play. Fall on that turf up there a couple of times. So, anyway, they got a lot of other things to work out. Don't get me wrong. You know, that wasn't tight end wasn't one of the main problems in the last game. Tanner Connor had a couple of catches and stuff, but it's just got to get restructured. Just has to. Just kind of this thing in 24 years it's been, 25 years it's been, and this thing used to be a proud franchise, man. It used to be in, you know, and my teams didn't win a championship, but we won a lot of games. We won a lot of playoff games. And, you know, after week one, it just, unless there's a big turnaround, and listen, it will be a huge turnaround from where they play to what they do going forward. It will be an amazing turnaround. They're playing against a really good Patriots team, I think. Patriots had one problem in the first game, and that was Geno Smith, and Geno Smith just absolutely smoked them in the secondary. If somebody told me Geno was going to throw for 362 yards and have nine plays of 20-plus yards in that game. Now, Geno did get sacked four times, but so you know what I'm thinking. You're probably thinking it too. You look to see how Geno played well. Hell, Geno played well. Maybe we can get our passing game going this week, protect a little bit, and get it done. Anyway, we got to go to break. I got a little long winded, and I apologize from before. And if I've, you know, keeping it clean today though, I've come a long way since my general manager Monday was not very pretty. It was not very pretty, but strong comeback yesterday. Very, very strong comeback. Anyway, we got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. I do want to take a second to tell you about Michael Cacci at Choice Mortgage. Yeah, I want to talk about mortgages. I want to make sure you get your mortgage with the best rate, which, by the way, right now the rates are in the fives. But I want to make sure you get the best rate. I want to make sure you get pre-qualified quickly. And whatever it is you need that money for, you can do it. I'll talk about some mortgages, but if you're a first-time home buyer and you've been losing out, we go in there, but we're not qualified. Listen, Michael Cacci, this one thing about Michael Cacci at Choice Mortgage, the man works 7 days a week. So a lot of times getting all that work done on the weekends. So when you go out there and you're pre-qualified, you already know what you can spend, and you got a chance to finally get that home, first-time home you really, really want. And I also want to let you know, man, he's got some great, great programs for everybody. Matter of fact, for seniors, he's got a program for them too. If you're 62 or and older, you and your spouse, you can convert your home equity into money. Pay that home off a long time ago, and you're sitting there and you know what your home's worth. You don't owe anything. You'd really like to have some of that money. You can do it. And Michael Cacci gets it done quickly. He wants to let you know, go to Google Reviews on the web. Choice Mortgage Reviews. Took a second to spit out there. But, hey, the man is working 7 days a week for you. Truly has no life. He's always working. Call or text him, 561-441-2730. 30-plus years of business right here in South Florida. Getting you approved quickly at the best rates, MLS 166254, rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender. Call 561-441-2730.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Woody. I'm okay. How are you? What do you have for us today?
Everything all right out there,
yeah,
man?
I'm good. Take a little walk. Phone's blowing up, but that's
good. Is it really?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good. I don't take anything.
You need to get rid of that phone at some point here this season.
I don't usually take my phone. I leave it, and then everybody complains, like, dude, nobody can get a hold of you. And either you see it, and you don't take calls, or you don't text people back all day. And my kids complain too, like. Because they go, oh, it's not just you. He doesn't even call his kids back.
I know, but the problem is they get mixed up in all the angry Dolphins fans that have your number for some reason.
Everybody has my number.
Yeah.
If you don't have my number, Something's wrong. Everybody has it.
It's true. People will tweet to us and they go, how could I get to Joe? I just give you a number.
I got people that text me and they start talking and they never put their name. I go, I have no idea who this is, but I'm reading it. Thank you.
Is that like the equivalent of like when someone comes up to you and they're like, hey, do you remember me? You met him like 10 years ago in passing.
Yeah, I get that. You get that on the road a lot, a little bit on coming into the stadium. But if they just come up and say hello and reintroduce themselves, mm-hmm. it'd be a lot better at this age. Much better. Is your dad going through this too, Woody? Is it just me? Is he like, I think I remember that guy.
I'm not very good with remembering names. So, I mean, it's not like a person. I don't do it personally, but I just not great with it.
Yeah.
By the way, you call people we've worked with for 20 years, you call them bro and stuff.
Yeah, I do. I do a little of the Mike McDaniel stuff. I do. Bro.
I can tell.
You know what coaches do? Name. So I notice coaches go, hey, coach. They call everybody instead of bro. They use the word coach. Coach. Yeah. You can't do that. Hey, coach. Nah, you're right. You know, okay, anyway, what do you have, Woody?
All right, I really want to get to this. I had like all the numbers for you from the viewership for the NFL. They were really big. A lot of people watched. I had to get to this story, though. So there were a few different AP writers that got called out. AP voters. The AP selects who votes, and they get to vote in this AP poll, right?
Okay.
That's a thing we keep talking about. Number 5, number 18 going against each other this week, right?
Yeah.
So those are the numbers that we use for the rankings. The different people from around the country get to vote in this thing. So two different people got caught this week with just bizarre AP polls. The first one, Joe, I'm going to get to here, and she actually explained herself. I'm going to play this for you in a second. Her name is Haley Sawyer. She covers USC, Southern Cal, for the Orange County Register.
Okay.
Her most recent poll moved Florida up 2 spots to number 14, leaving USF unranked.
After
the game. Lost. Yes, after they lost.
After Florida lost at home with a big – yeah, that so makes no sense.
It makes you wonder, like, did she not watch SportsCenter that night? Like, does she not have any clue what's going on?
Maybe if you have a vote, you might want to keep an eye on, see kind of all the highlights of all the games.
But she gave us a little glimpse into her process here, Joe. So here's what she had to say to defend herself.
But as far as what my votes are and what my process is, you know, I wake up early in the morning after covering a game late in the night before. Don't want to go too much into my progress or process or logic, but I will say I appreciate everybody's interaction on social media and all of your feedback. You know, there's tons of people that vote on the AP poll, and like, it's not a perfect system, but at the end of the day, like, no matter who you pick, it does even out because there's so many people who vote. And like I said, it's really fun for discussion. It doesn't, you know, probably matter in the end, but I'm glad that people are having a really good time with.
Yeah.
What a take.
She sounded really, really stupid.
It's fun and it doesn't
for
really
women
matter
that are trying to do things the right way. And she comes across with the stereotype of what women have to fight every day for that take. Like a common sense of we lost at home. We were heavily favored. And you decide to still not rank them. Okay. But she said it doesn't matter because everybody else is smarter than I am.
Joe, but here's the thing. Like, you're covering college football. You're in a college football press box. Like, how did you not know that happened?
How you not know that was one of the biggest upsets?
I mean, it was all over the place.
Yeah. You know, two of the biggest upsets the first 2 weeks? Right here in the state of Florida. USF and Florida State. What they did to Alabama.
No, oh, now they brought up Florida State, Joe.
Yeah.
Because we have another guy, Cokie Riley, who is from Baton Rouge, I guess covers LSU over there. And his latest AP poll had Florida 5 spots ahead of USF. And it also had Alabama 2 spots ahead of FSU at 14.
So those people, seriously, when you do something that stupid,
take their votes away.
You should not. They go, hey, listen, we take this thing a little more serious. You're out. because you're a complete ass clown. You're an embarrassment to what this, like, people really pay attention. And by the way, they are right about one thing. It doesn't matter right now. It really, and matter of fact, the only one, none of these matter. Coach's poll doesn't matter. AP doesn't matter. The only thing's going to matter is when, how many weeks are we're still, what, 2 months away from
the
committee?
Yeah. But you know what, though, man? If you don't want to vote, then, like, don't do it.
Yeah, if you don't want to do it. By the way, you know how many young people love to do that, that follow this? You follow it. Jamie's too lopsided. He's just Florida Gator, but, I mean.
You said he was an LSU guy, right? You said he was Baton Rouge?
Yeah.
You think maybe he moved Florida up because he wanted Florida, you know, have a little bit more juice coming into Baton Rouge, Death Valley, week three?
I don't think so, because I think LSU's going to have enough of those kind of games in the SEC.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to.
I don't know. Jamie feels good, by the way, about this potential upset.
I do feel good. Gators beat them last year.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the USF game was a blip on the radar and they'll keep moving. I mean, Billy Napier's coaching for his job right now in Gainesville.
They said that a year ago.
I'm rooting hard for the Gators, man. I hope they win out at this point, except for Miami, obviously. But I hope they, because, you know, strength of schedule here for everyone. And I'd like to see them keep that coach.
So then you want Notre.
The longer they keep that coach, the better.
You want Notre Dame to win or lose against Texas A&M?
You asked me that earlier. I'd like to see Notre Dame lose every game they play.
Why is everything with the Gators and Notre Dame? Those are two teams that get so. Jamie, have you noticed it gets personal with him? You're not a real go Gator. You hate him. I don't know what happened. Did some kid beat you up that dad went to Florida or something when you were a kid?
I would love to see them beat LSU. Be great. Get the Miami game more hype.
Oh, that's true.
Make the Bulls.
I would do that, by the way.
I think they're going to get waxed, but whatever.
I don't think they get waxed. I don't think they get waxed. I think.
Well, I'll see you guys on Monday, and we'll.
You're going to take that comment too. Put that with some of the other dumb stuff I said. All right.
Oh, by the way, we're all saying dumb stuff this week. We've said a lot of really dumb stuff this week. It's been an ugly few days. Let me end it with this one here, Joe. I know we're running late, but I got to get you this story really quick. Headline reads, cruise ship passenger in Puerto Rico jumps overboard, allegedly to avoid $16,000 gambling debt. Long story short, this guy on a Royal Caribbean cruise near the port of San Juan, they say he allegedly to avoid paying off more than a $16,000 gambling debt to the cruise line, jumped off the boat. He was scooped up by some guy on a jet ski and is now getting charged with all sorts of crimes. You're not allowed to do this, apparently. Like jumping off the boat.
I've never heard that. So I didn't know if he was trying to end his life out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. They were close to Puerto Rico at that point.
No, it's really weird, by the way. They said they found him. He had like two different phones on him, five different IDs.
So yeah, he was a scammer. Sort
of con man.
Yeah, he's a big con man.
You can get a marker on a cruise ship, apparently. I had to look into this. You can get a marker and you can get your chips and run up your debt.
Yeah.
But usually you have to pay it as you leave. You know, I guess he figured if he jumped off the boat, he'd be clear of his debt.
That's a new one. That's probably been done before, but yeah, he had some kind of.
That's the first one I've seen.
That's crazy. Hey, we've got Kyle Krabs. We got to get in some serious stuff. And by the way, Kyle Krabs is the most fair, would you agree with this, media guy that covers the Dolphins that we have, to the point sometimes.
Absolutely.
People just kill him. So anyway, we're going to find out what Kyle Krabs has to say when we come back.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.